The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Hey, welcome, nonprofit community. So glad you could join us today. Now the sun is out. It was raining earlier, but we're looking good in South Florida right now. And I'm so excited because we have a beautiful group of highly qualified nonprofiteers who are here to tell you about their organization, the National Association of Health Services Executives. That's a mouthful, but they do a tremendous service in our community, and we get to learn all about them. I'm Kara Zimmerman, thankful to Spirit of Giving Network for sponsoring this opportunity to get the community educated on all the nonprofits and what they do, because they do such good work, and we need to know about it and what's going on. So, gentlemen, ladies, thank you so much for coming in your busy day to share with us great information about National Association of Health Services Executives. We have Grant McGaw here. He's the chapter president. And we have Natalia McGarrell. She's the executive secretary of the chapter. And without any further ado, I don't want to take up any more precious minutes. What is this?
Well, thank you very much for having us. We are excited to tell you all about our organization, we call it NASI.
NASI, okay. We'll do the NASI.
That's a big word. National Association of Health Services Executives is a lot. But NASI has been around for 50 years.
Wow.
We're actually going to celebrate our 50th anniversary in Orlando from October 10th through the 12th. It's our commemorative event. We are actually, I would say, a spinoff from the ACHE, which is the American College of Health Executives. But we started because we had to have a particular niche around Black healthcare executives. We were not getting the, I would say, the attention to detail what's happening in that particular community. And if you can remember what was happening in 1968, a lot of civil rights activity was taking place. So from that moment on, we've been celebrating every year with the educational conference that will, again, take place in October 10th through the 12th. I want to get that out there in case anybody wants to join us. 12th. But there's a lot of information that a lot of people don't know. Like, the largest four nonprofit hospitals in the United States are actually ran from a CEO perspective by African Americans. One is Kevin Lofton. He runs CHI, Capital Health Initiatives. Another is Lloyd Dean. He runs Dignity Health. Both of those organizations will be merging shortly, I think toward the end of the year. Also, we have Bernard Tyson, who runs Kaiser Permanente, a very large organization out in the West Coast of the United States, as well as Patricia Maryland, who runs the Ascension Healthcare. I think they're more centrally located. So we have some superstars within our organization. Within the Florida chapter, we have some superstars as well. I think in Jackson North, there is Roy Hawkins, just recently joined, was at Broward Imperial Point, is Jonathan Watkins, who just came on board from Kaiser not too long ago. We also have the first woman, African-American woman, in Jacksonville, who became the president for Baptist Health in Jacksonville, not here in South Florida, which definitely huge, definitely huge. So we're making inroads. And we want to be part of the healthcare delivery system from a decision-making model.
And is this just in Florida, or is your association
national.
In every national?
National,
exactly. Yeah. So, how many would you say? I don't know if you even have the statistics on how many Black leaders in hospital healthcare are there nationwide? Is there?
Well,
we're going to focus obviously just
on
Florida.
We're going to back up a little bit. There's 28 chapters of our particular group. I'm in the South Florida chapter. Now, by a percentage-wise, like in our country, I think we're in roughly around 14 to 16% of our demographics in our nation are designated African-American. Of those, we only have about 2 to 3% that are represented in the senior leadership roles. So there's still a lot of work to do.
Absolutely.
And we understand it at the board level and also at in the people I had mentioned, even though they're CEOs of hospitals, they're not at the senior executive levels here in South Florida. So they're still, they're running a hospital, but they're part of the whole hospital system. There may be 6 to 10 other hospitals, which they are one of 10 others. Okay. But at the board level, that's where the representation really falls off. We're not seeing enough. And if you know anything about now with our own, I would say, demographics and where the marketing is going, our whole, population is shifting and changing. So if your voice is not at the table, how are your views and your values being heard? And how can anyone make executive decisions? You wouldn't want an entire male organization making decisions around women's health, for instance. Where's the perspective coming from? So that's kind of where we come from as an organization.
Absolutely. And so when it comes to, you know, what service we provide, just to add to what Grant shared, it's really about not only the visibility of what's going on in the minority sector within the executive levels in healthcare, but more so promoting that, to Grant's point. In fact, I was at, for my day-to-day job, if you will, I was at Lakeside Medical Center in Belgrade, Florida. And I was surprised to see that there are actually two, believe it or not, advisory board members that are African American. And I didn't know that. Did you, Grant?
No, I did not.
Absolutely not. So that, and they probably don't even know about NAVI. And so knowing that they are in these positions, part of what NAVI does is we will then solicit their information, reach out to them, make sure that they know, because our job is to help to advance them within their role so that, the, to his point, the diversity of thought is not just about being a minority. It's really about diversity in thought and being able to bring those information and that collaborative effort into the hospital space where it actually makes a difference for the entire community. Because it's not a silo group of people that's living in the community. It's really a diverse group of people. So there should be a diverse group in the executive positions to help to ensure that both the insured and the underinsured are all spoken for. That being said, from a more chapter level, with the South Florida chapter of NAVI, we participate in three pillars. Help me out here, Grant.
Advocacy, one of them.
Yes, good advocacy, sustainability, and innovation. And those pillars really guide the activities that we deliver to the community. And our activities are really designed to engage, build skill sets, career development, networking, and career growth, professional growth and development, and also community outreach. From a community outreach standpoint, most recently we partnered with the city of Miramar and we participated in a book bag drive for back to school. So a back to school initiative. Our book bags were gone, what would you say, in about 5 minutes?
They went pretty quickly, that's for certain.
Yeah, you know, and those children were just completely out, you know, just happy to receive the bag with the information that we had provided them. And it was at no charge to the children in the community. We're also, we also do initiative with executive to help bring them together. So like the individuals that I saw today at Lakeside, we'll try to get them at one of our events so that they can be exposed to their peers and start to talk about some of the things that really help to engage in really building the hospital systems. And then another really good activity that we did was a C-suite roundtable, where we literally got the C-suite executives in the hospital setting to come in to a room and have a conversation around, on this particular go-around, we talked about IT in the hospital.
Innovation.
And innovation in that sense. So, and I know Grant can speak, you know, very thoroughly to that because he's in the IT world, but just how important that alone is in the healthcare environment. and how that can have a great impact on not just the performance of the facility, but also the level of activity that's coming out of the executives that are actually promoting and running those programs in the hospitals.
Grant, what is your background before? What do you do? This isn't your full-time job, obviously,
no,
president. This is a volunteer situation,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
All of both of you.
Yes.
But so what do you do, and what have you brought to the table as far as being the president? What is your connection there?
Well, I've been
there?
An IT professional for 20 years as an account executive. Right now, my role is an advanced technology executive for a company called Zones Healthcare. And what that does, we really primarily focus on strategic and tactical innovations for a hospital. There's a lot of change taking place when you're looking at how do we reach people that traditionally have not had access or affordable health care. All right, so what are we going to do from a technology standpoint? Telehealth is a huge one. Mobile health is a huge one. Remote monitoring is another big initiative that's taking place. You're seeing a lot more people now taking advantage of technology like Fitbits, right? So that you can get biometrics now,
yes,
having your own internal electronic medical record. But then that can now be uploaded to a healthcare system. And what's now, they're not just doing trial and error trying to figure out what's been happening with you. They now have a record, an existing historical record of what is going on within your day-to-day existence. So this is huge in healthcare. We promote it. We've been promoted, you know, we're a national zone. The company I work for is an international company, but we focus nationally from a healthcare perspective and healthcare systems.
But who, when you were growing up, who did you, you know, how did you get in this situation? In other words, you know, when you were young, somebody must have spoken to you, or a teacher, or high school or college, to point you in this direction. You know, we all need somebody to guide us into our career, or you saw someone. You know, we don't necessarily always make it on our own. There's somebody that saw a spark in us or mentored us, or, you know, that's where I see both of you fitting into this conversation as you give out the book bags. So maybe the book bag has your association name on it, and that might trigger future.
Absolutely.
Future executives that you're looking for, because nobody in schools and say, okay, Johnny, you know, I think you're going to be an executive for healthcare in your community. It's just,
right.
It isn't a conversation in school necessarily.
Well, I want to piggyback off of that, because what Natalia brought up earlier and what we're doing in the community, we have specifically gone out and found executives that are kind of siloed.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of our big donors works for VITAS, Donna Borland. We interviewed her. It's in our newsletter. It's on our website that you can take a look at. She tells her entire story, coming from Jamaica, coming from a small town, making a decision to either stay on the island or follow her sister's path, who said, hey, you need to come to the United States. Go ahead and go to Broward College. Take up an initiative around a nursing degree and see where it'll take you. And because she followed that direction, and in her case, her mentor and sponsor was her sister.
See that? Just
but
takes one.
But she found a great sponsor at VITAS who actually guided her from just in a nursing role to get to a patient clinical, I can't think of the exact word of the role, but she was able to promote herself through the ranks. And now she's the general manager of all of Broward County for VITAS. That's just one story. So we have several.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line is what I've learned even from my role as the secretary and going on the interviews, conducting the interviews with the executives, is that you can't allow fear to deter you or hinder you from advancing to a place that you've never been. Because the thing is, because you've never been there, you don't know what it's going to take and the different hurdles you'll have to jump over and roadblocks that you'll have to go around in order to get there. But once you endure that and you get to that end point, that's where the testimony, and that's where the guidance, and that's where the ability for you to then become a sponsor, quote unquote, mentor, in order to then turn back and say, look, this is how you do it. And so our organization does a phenomenal job with not only identifying the people that have these stories But even people that don't have a story like that with challenges and hurdles, but just a story in general, because we all have one, to share those stories. And then we take that and we develop workshops for upcoming entry-level individuals, students even. We just did a career development workshop where literally students that are currently in college, providing them with some tools to start thinking about the path that they're headed down and what they could potentially expect, and some guidance and how to go about doing that. So we really are committed to the community, and we're committed to young people who may not know how to get to where they want to go, but know that they want to go somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm so glad you're doing that, because it just takes one person to enlighten you and then help you with that path. And having those stories that you share is monumental. And being an association, and we'll get back to this in just a minute, we have to take a quick break, but I'd like to speak about, we didn't talk about the services that you do offer in the association. So we'll be right back. We'll take a quick break. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No child in Florida deserves to be bullied, and it's up to parents and adults to recognize the signs. I'm Andy Ford, president of the Florida Education Association. Torn clothes, bruises, loss of appetite, mood changes, or a reluctance to go to school. These all could be signs that a child is the victim of bullying. And as parents, as educators, as adults, we have the power to stand up and stop the bullying, fix it, and prevent it. If you're a parent, the teacher, the custodian, the aunt, the neighbor, or the coach, one caring adult can make all the difference. Take the pledge to be that adult at nea.org/bullyfree. Students in Florida deserve more caring adults in their lives. That's nea.org/bullyfree.
A message from the Florida Education Association.
Welcome back, community. We are here with a wonderful group of people with the National Association of Health Services Executives. And Natea McGarrell is going to take it away.
Thank you, Tara. Thank you again. So one of the things that we want to get into just a little bit right now is October marks the Women's Health Month. And we are doing an initiative for women's health with the city of Miramar, where we're partnering not only with the city of Miramar, but also with the Florida Mobile Mammography Bus. And what we're doing is we are extending at no charge mammography screening to women who may have insurance or may not have insurance. Carrie Lawrence, who is the owner of the mobile van for Florida Mobile Mammography, will go into detail as to how that will work. But the idea is women across Miramar, and you'll hear later on, even across South Florida, including West Palm Beach, will have access to mammography at a really low reduced price. And they get the ability to really see if something as serious as breast cancer is really impacting them, and something that they can look into more in more detail.
Fantastic. Thank you, Carrie, for being here. We really want to hear about this.
Thank you for having us. Yes, we are so excited to be partnering with NASI and with the city of Miramar. We, October 28th, from 11 to 5, we're going to be at the city of Miramar with our mobile breast center performing 3D mammograms for women. We have the Hologic equipment, which is one of the best equipments on the market, and we will have our mobile breast center there, thanks to NASI for setting this up. One of the great things about our mobile breast center is we're able to bring it to corporations, municipalities, or community events. We really love the opportunity to partner with nonprofit organizations and bring this opportunity to women who do not have an insurance and allow them to get covered.
That's fantastic. Now, when they get the mammogram, are the results given at that time, or how do they receive the results after the test?
So the results are faxed to their physician as well as mailed to the patient as well. results are not done on that day because we do collect all prior images. So if you've had a mammogram elsewhere, we will collect that and use that as a comparison before we send the reports to you.
Wow, Carrie, thank you. That's all I could say is how I hope everybody takes advantage of this. My gosh, how are you advertising it? How is the word getting out? Here, yes.
Yes, yeah. Right here and through the NASI chapter. And we'll also be using social media and, of course, working with the city of Miramar and using the city. We also, the city is putting on a gala October 13th. And the gala is going to be used to help fundraise to get additional money in for the October 28th event. And then also for us to continue to do other events throughout the month of October.
Fantastic. Well, again, give us a quick phone number that we can call or website. Is there a place we can go to get more information?
Yes. Our website is floridamobilemammography.com. And mammography is MAMMOGRAPHY. And our number is 877-318-1349.
Great. Okay. And we also have Michelle here. But Carrie, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, and you could also go to the NASI website as well to get additional information on this specific event.
And the website is, because we haven't, we didn't let anybody know that yet, the website, so we can
very
reach
simple.
Out.
The website is www.nahsesouthflorida.org.
Okay, thank you. Everybody, I hope you have your pens out to write this information down, but you can always definitely call the station here if you need more information or the NASI office. So thank you so much. Anything else before we switch over to Michelle? I don't want to miss anything.
You know, I think one of the greatest challenges that we face in mammography is access. And this is why we're so excited to be partnering with NASI. By being mobile, we're able to bring that convenient access to the women. We really encourage the women to come out, get their mammograms. And if anybody else is passionate, we are absolutely asking for donations today so that we can continue these events and bring them to other places besides the city of Miramar.
And if we go to floridamobilemammography.com, can we donate there on that website?
We actually will are taking the donations through NASI.
Okay, so the NAHSE southflorida.org is where we want to go, everybody, to keep the mammography going. Do you have any statistics on breast cancer itself? Is it on the increase? Is it stabilized?
Breast cancer, 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And the quicker we find it, the more likely you are to survive it. So if we can detect breast cancer at stage 1, you pretty much have an almost 100% chance of survival. And with the 3D equipment, it is allowing us to catch breast cancers much sooner than the older 2D technology.
So the 3D is the most recent, right? The one
Correct.
You probably want to ask for if you're going, women
Absolutely.
Are going.
Absolutely. And American College of Radiology is recommending annual mammograms for women 40 and over. And for those that do have insurance, mammograms are covered almost always covered 100%.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we have Michelle here, Michelle Goldberg from Bethesda Women's Health Center. Thank you, too, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
And to NASI for allowing us to have this opportunity to partner with this amazing organization. To piggyback on a lot of the things that Carrie spoke about regarding breast cancer, I'm a nurse navigator for breast health with Bethesda Women's Health, and one of my jobs is to find access, like you talked about, for all women, but particularly women that are uninsured and underinsured, and make sure that they are afforded the same opportunities as those with insurance. And we have so many community partners that we work with back and forth to make sure that the women in the community are taken care of, you know, in whatever they need. We do have specials in October and May, and those are for women that are uninsured, and we are offering $50 mammograms, which includes the 3D tomosynthesis, like Carrie was talking about. And it's so important for the 3D imaging as well, because sometimes that will find cancers that are not seen on regular mammograms. We also offer at our center, we are a comprehensive women's center. So we do screening mammograms, we do diagnostic mammograms, ultrasounds, MRIs, we do breast biopsies. We also have myself, a nurse navigator. We are having our new breast surgeon start on September 10th. And we also have our nurse practitioner who specializes in genetic testing. And every patient is given a risk assessment to screen for that and are able to get tested right at our center. And that can really change the medical management of a patient, even if they do not have the genetic mutation for breast cancer, but it still may change their medical management. And they look at lifetime risk and all of those situations.
So is there a contact number there as well that we can reach you?
So you can reach me directly at 561-374-5312. Other than that, all the information will be through NASI, through their website as well. And, you know, any donations would go through there. The other things that are important is that we also partner with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. We are a grant recipient. So one of my other jobs is to figure out, based on the individual patient situation, how we can get them the care that they need, whether it's referring to another organization or helping them get health insurance or some type of coverage so that they're able to get all of the testing that they need.
That's where the navigator title comes in. She navigates the web to get the services.
Sure.
I can't thank you enough. I mean, just listening to all of you, really about NASI, who would have known, you know, the impact that you do on women, on the community? Just, I can't thank you enough. I'm so excited that you're here. Unfortunately, we have to end this, but certainly reach out to NASISouthFlorida.org if you have any health concerns. And I thank you all for being here and for the work you do in our community. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits.